Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Hosea. The Lord has laid some thoughts on my heart. We'll be going to Hosea chapter 4. How many of you believe that our country was based on godly principles? And that you believe that godly men and women desired a place where they could have freedom of religion? And to be honest, that religion was Christianity. Now, they allowed others to come, but it was Christianity that they promoted. In the song America, verse 4, it says, "Our fathers, God, to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God our King." Verse 1 of America the Beautiful, "Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains' majesty above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea." They were not ashamed of their faith in a holy God. In the Battle Hymn of the Republic, verse 4, "In the beauty of the lilies Christ was born across the sea, with the glory in his bosom that transfigured you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free. While God is marching on, glory, glory, hallelujah, glory, glory, hallelujah, while God is marching on." And would you please stand as I read verse 4 from the Star Spangled Banner. It's not a verse often sung, but verse 4 of the Star Spangled Banner. "Oh, thus be it ever when free men shall stand between their loved homes and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must, when our cause it is just. And this is our motto, in God is our trust." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the United States of America. Lord, we thank you for gospel-preaching churches. And Lord, in this day and age in which we are in a spiritual battle, may we keep ourselves armed with the spiritual armor that is available. Help us, Lord, to stand until you call us home. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. The book of Hosea, chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4, we'll begin reading at verse 1. "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood." Verses 6 and 7. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I also forget thy children. As they have increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame." For the Lord hath controversy with the inhabitants of the land. I have to wonder if we are not seeing that in our world today, that the Lord has controversy with us. Controversy, a disagreement, debate, conflict, dispute, strife, contention. There was no truth. Folks, truth is important. Truth is necessary. We have so much fake news today. We have so much that is thrown out that is a lie, and the producers of these oftentimes know their lies, and they're never held accountable. And they lie to us. There's no mercy nor knowledge of God because they have rejected knowledge. I believe our nation is in a spiritual struggle. There are two viewpoints. There's the biblical authority, and there's human authority, or humanism. And unfortunately, many churches today are trying to please both sides. There are many churches that are trying to be all things to all people. May I say this? Nowhere in the scriptures are we ever told to act like the world to win the world. No time does the scripture ever say, be like the world so they feel comfortable. Christ made people feel uncomfortable. He was not politically correct. We are at war. Spiritual war. Atheism. We find that Psalm 14:1, also Psalm 53:1 says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable iniquity. Atheism is a disbelief in the existence of deity or the doctrine that there is no deity. An atheist is one who denies the existence of a what I call a creator God. The dictionary simply says of God. And folks, we have people today who have been raised and taught that there is no God. And they've tried to stop us. And even today they're trying to stop us. They want us to shut up. They don't want us to spread the gospel. Well, folks, I need to tell you now that the light needs to shine for the cause of Christ. And the darker it is, the brighter the light will shine. And we need to shine brightly for the cause of Christ. This is not a time to become complacent. This is not a time in which we should say, well, it's just too much against us. Folks, there's always been a remnant. And we need to realize we are either part of the remnant or you need to be ministered to. Evolution. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1. We have now gotten to the place that evolution is not considered a theory. It is stated as fact. We have kids who have been raised from kindergarten and up that have been taught evolution. The other day, we had one of our grandchildren over, number 7 of 8. Josiah is his name, though he goes by Joey. And he wanted to watch Godzilla, the old black and white one. I endured. I do not remember watching it when it became a movie in the very beginning, and I understand why it's not a classic. But I was amazed as they said that Godzilla probably was a product of something 2 million years old. Black and white. Movie. We find that it is very subtly put into things. Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, notice, who hold the truth, or they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that they may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The heavens declare the glory of God. For the evolutionist, if there is no God, how then do we explain the universe, the world in which we live, human beings? The other day when I was with Jerry and Leona Rush, and Jerry reminded me that the sun is the perfect size. It is the right distance from Earth. And the Earth is the perfect size, and the atmosphere is just right. By chance? I don't think so. I don't think so. There are those who unfortunately believe John 3:16, but not Genesis 1:1. And they've compromised themselves. Because the same God of John 3:16 is the same God of Genesis 1:1. Matthew 19:4, Jesus says, "Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female?" Jesus believed in the creation, and he proclaimed the creation. Our Creator God has designed amazing creatures. Kangaroos, koalas, otters, giraffes, camels, manatees, lemurs, leopards, cows, rabbits, and human beings. The human brain is simply what? Amazing. It's fantastic. It's awesome. The human brain is nothing to sneeze at. It is an amazing organ, did I hear someone say? It's amazing. Donna's dogs do not know how to cook. Well, some of you men don't know how to cook either. They don't know how to vacuum, let alone empty the canister, which is usually full of dog hair. They don't know how to turn on a CD player or start a car or read or write. Cute. Some would say they're cute. But they're illiterate. They don't know how to cook anything. Oh, they know how to eat. Oh, they're eating machines. But they don't know how to purchase it or prepare it or even get it out of the refrigerator or cabinet. Monkeys may be smart when compared to other animals. But when compared to humans, they don't really come close, no matter what Planet of the Apes may say. And I want you to know, I've never seen Planet of the Apes, but I have heard of it. But there are those who would rather believe that we evolved than that there is a creator. I want you to ponder this thought. You either believe that there is a divine creator, or you believe that there was this ball of energy, and that this ball of energy for some reason exploded, and for some reason it created planets. And on this particular planet, there was for some reason water. And then for some reason there was lightning that struck the water and from it began life. Now we can't create it today. In experiments by the thousands, we are unable to create life. But for some reason it happened a long, long time ago. May I say this? It takes more faith to believe in evolution than to believe that there is a creator God. There is the war of abortion. Matthew 18 says, "Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." Jeremiah 1:5, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee." God knows. Can I ask you a question? Is God pro-life or is he pro-choice? He's pro-life. God is life. He provides life. No matter what our Supreme Court said, there are no ifs, ands, or maybes about it. Abortion is murder. We need to remember and understand that abortion from fertilization to birth is killing a human made in God's image. Psalm 139:14, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." So we find that there are many battles, and one that is raging today is the homosexual war. And may I say this, that the homosexual is at war with God. Genesis 2:23-25. Let's turn there, if you would, please, very quickly. Genesis chapter 2. And we'll begin reading at verse 23. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and we're not ashamed." Jesus said, "For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife." Jesus knew and proclaimed that marriage is one man and one woman. Again to the book of Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We'll begin reading at verse 24. It says, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was met." Leviticus 18:22, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination." Is that a suggestion? Leviticus 20, verse 13, "If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." Genesis 18:20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. At war with God. Genesis 19:13, for we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. Verse 15, and when the morning arose, then the angels hastened to Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. At war with God. Obviously, this is a very touchy subject in our society today. We are being bombarded by the media, movies, TV shows, magazine articles, etc., declaring the homosexual lifestyle is acceptable or is at least to be tolerated. Folks, it is shaking the very fist of man in the face of God and saying, you're wrong, God. You're wrong. And we're right. As Brother Wutke read about the king who at the time he should have been turning to God, he turned to false gods. And it's what society is doing today. All too many churches have lowered their standards. After all, God is all about love. Do you believe that? That God is just all about love? We serve a holy God, correct? Is God right? Oh, we say he's always good, and he's good all the time. Is he right all the time? See, that's important. Is he right all the time? Is the Word of God important? Are we in a spiritual battle today? Are our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren in need of being taught the truth? Oh, they're lied to. As I said earlier, nowhere in scriptures are we told to act like the world to win the world. Two final thoughts before we move on. No one is born a homosexual. They've tried to prove that they are, but no one is. And second, just because we have a leaning towards a sinful behavior, it does not give us liberty or an excuse to live sinfully. And it may not just be homosexuality, it could be heterosexual immorality. It can be alcohol, it can be drugs, it can be stealing. People may have a tendency to lean in these directions, but we don't give them liberty to do it. Gender war or gender confusion. It's a belief of lies. It's utter and open rebellion. Now, you can go to some place and they will have a bathroom sign with male, and they'll have a sign for female, and then they'll have a sign for, and it's half male and half female. And we say, well, we have to be tolerant. God is not tolerant. Amen. Male and female created he them. See what happens when we start to teach evolution? When we start to proclaim that Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3 and chapter 4 are fictional and they're for some other period of time, we start removing those quotes like, he created male and female. We remove the scriptures that are important. And thus we find ourselves in a world of hurt. In conclusion, do you like that term? 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And folks, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. And I want you to know that when it comes to sexual sins, God says that we're not to do them, whatever it may be. That the bed is undefiled in marriage between one man and one woman. But notice what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, 1. This know also that in the last days, what? Perilous times will come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Boy, doesn't that sound like the United States of 2020? Ever learning and denying the truth. Verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Does that sound like today? Unfortunately. Verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Continue in the truth. Keep on the spiritual armor so that we can go to battle and that we can be victorious. Verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. There is no more important thing to have in our life than eternal life through Jesus Christ. To have salvation. And that's why we need the Word of God. The liberal wants to shut down our churches. They want to shut down our voice. You know, they tried that in Russia. Did it work? They've tried it in China. Has it worked? They say there are more born again believers in China than there are in America. Of course, China has a lot more people than we do. They've tried to shut it down. They've tried to shut it down in Arabic countries where Muslims are in the majority, and they've tried to shut it down, but it hasn't worked. Well, how have they tried to shut it down in America? Oh, you can have your freedom of religion inside your building, but don't propagate it. Don't go outside the building. Don't tell us how to live. Separation of church and state. Well, the fact of the matter is, the state should be afraid of the church. And the church shouldn't be afraid of the state. Verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture is what? Profitable. Profitable. Verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Shall we stand together? We are in a battle. Pastors say that 50 years ago, you didn't have to worry about some of the things we could discuss today. People knew it. They understood it. Today, we've been blinded by the media saying that, well, we have all kinds of ways to get into heaven. Folks, there's only one way into heaven. They try to tell us that we're here by pure chance. Folks, we're not here by chance. The Lord created us. He created us so that we could serve him and bring glory to his name, that we could praise him and honor him. He told us to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. One of the things the devil wants you to believe is that, everybody's okay. That there is no hell. Because a loving God wouldn't send anybody to hell. No, a loving God provides a way up to heaven. Maybe this morning you'd just like to come and pray for America. Maybe you'd like to come and pray for the Covenant Baptist Church and for Bible-believing churches that proclaim the truth. Maybe you'd like to pray for your family. Maybe you'd like to just pray for yourself that you can remain strong in perilous times. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you as we have this invitation time that we have a God that loves us, a God who has provided a way of salvation. And Lord, may this nation see revival. May we have another great awakening. May we, Lord, see you move in gospel preaching churches. May your people be concerned about that which is spiritual. And Lord, we just ask that your will be done at this invitation time. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.